The Luck Stops Here podcast with Scott Bowser is brought to you by whatever you want it to be. You make it up in your head, we got it. We got you covered every angle possible. We're looking for advertisers right now, so, you know, send us a message, get down and do your duty. And thank you for supporting the show. All right, I am back for another week of madness. I got my boy for this week, Josh Chaney. Josh, how you doing, pal?
Great. How are you doing, bud?
Dude, I'm great, man. You know, like, here's the thing, man. Sometimes you have one of those rough weeks in your day-to-day life, but then that one little thing gets dropped into your lap, and it brings you such immediate joy where you're like, I don't know how I could have been so upset earlier. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Did you have something like that this week?
Yeah. Thanks for playing along with the segue to set this up. See, you know, okay, for those of you guys that don't know, he's been on the show before, but like, Josh is one of my oldest friends in the LA comedy scene. We go way back, and we're actually only born 10 days apart, which I always think is cool because,
yeah,
you know, I'm 3-1-4-7-9. He's 3-2-4-7-9. It's pretty, right. It's pretty cool.
You're 10 days older than me.
Yeah, 10 days older. Look at 10 days. I'm 10 days, but I look like a way bigger bucket of shit. Let's be honest.
I don't know about that.
No, I think I'm looking. I've lost some weight lately. And you know what I did?
What'd you do?
All I did was with my daily sandwich at work that I eat, because Jen gets a bunch of free sandwiches from her work. Because they have like an employee credit thing that they get, so she doesn't eat those because she brings her own stuff that she makes to keep her calories in check. But I get those sandwiches because those keep my calories in check. And then I was getting the free bag of chips that came with it, or the 25-cent extra bag of chips. And I was like, you know what? Stop getting those. I'm just going to replace that with a little carrots and broccoli. And just that alone over the last couple of months has like dropped me like 15-20 pounds. I shit you not. And so,
Little changes.
Like, just
starts like this and then it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've been losing weight. I feel better. I'm still miserable.
Sure.
A lot, you know, but like,
I don't know how you can not be living in this world.
Yeah, especially in Las Vegas, dude. I see the worst fucking possible people. I see the glory holers. I see just the worst degens.
I thought the generals were due.
I see those types, you know.
I thought they were too.
I see random guys walking on the street saying shit like this.
Before I die, I'm going to fuck me a fish.
You know, it's just madness out here. It's straight anarchy, dude. I'm getting so much better at the soundboard. I got to get, you know. Guys, this is like the third episode with it, and you know what? I thank you so much, everyone, for sticking with me about this. But no, so I got, dude, I sent this to you, and you were just watching this before as we were getting started to record. And so I got sent my, I'll say, Ed Greer, one of my oldest friends in comedy too, sent me this amazing video from this account, Instagram account, and everybody. I rarely just plug random accounts of people I don't know and stuff like that, but please check out Bums and Drones immediately. Stop what you're doing. Pause this episode here. Watch Bums and Drones on Instagram. Just go through go through a few of them. There's the one I sent Josh is it's like an LL Cool J I Need Love parody song, but it says, I need drugs. It's a bunch of dudes like doing drug deals and stuff, and like they sneak up on these like street guys with drones, and man, they lose their shit because they're just a bunch of crackheads, and it's amazing. It's not like, oh, they're just like picking on homeless encampments. It's not like bum fights kind of stuff. No, it's very funny. It's people doing very illegal stuff and freaking out because all of a sudden the drones rolling up on them. And there's another one I saw where it's just like a guy. And this drone's rolling on him, and they use the Mission Impossible theme for the music.
Perfect music.
And he's just like trying to find rocks, And he's got a slingshot. It's not like one of those wrist rockets that you would get at like Big Five that might be able to do some damage. It's straight. He's got like one of those plastic jobbers you get from the ice cream man.
The wide ones.
Yeah, dude. It's, and he's just like, and he's taking way too long to find each rock to shoot at this thing. So just giving the guy an opportunity to buy. These drone pilots are pretty good, by the way. I'm not gonna
really lie. Good. They're amazing. Yeah. Invade easily pretty much any bump.
And like, I don't know, after a rough week, dude. Like, I want to do a promo. Let's just say Bums and Drones were to sponsor the show. Let me do like I'm going to do an ad read for him right now. Like, you know, sometimes life gets me down. Hold on. Let me get some background stuff. What do I got on here?
Background music.
Hold on. We got technological capabilities here, my man. We are not just gonna like waste it, right? Okay, I think this one might work. Oh no, that's just like this. I got the sad trombone. That's not gonna. You know what? I'll work on it. Okay, I'll add this in post. So after a hard day, hard week, and let's face it, it's been a hard life. I like to come home and settle down at my home bar with a nice, cool Manhattan, but what really brings me joy is Bums and Drones. Yes, that's Bums, at Bums and Drones on Instagram, where you can watch street people startled by the sight of technology right in their face. Okay. I don't think I'm going to add music and post on that. I think that was a good, you know, cold read, like improv.
Great.
Dude. But like, yeah, man, like that's such a great idea for a drone. I'm not going to lie, dude. Just rolling up on some dudes, doing dude stuff. They're always doing dude stuff. And like, I don't know if you noticed that one I sent you in the first like few shots of guys. It shows the same guy twice with two different groups, and he's like pointing at her like, "Hey, it's not over there earlier, man."
I did notice it was the same guy.
Yeah, dude. So everybody, that, you know, that's my community service. Can you imagine if I got busted for something, you have to do community service. I'm like, okay, on my podcast, I'll plug stuff like Bums and Drones. That's community service. Because like I sent it to a friend of the show, last week's guest, Justin Decker, and he responded with, "Fuck, I've never followed an account faster in my life." That's what I'm here for, guys. That is what I'm here for. Speaking of ad reads and bums, dude, this segue is as good as it gets. Let's talk about Lenny Dykstra. And I just want to say, the reason why I say that is he's a hero of the 86 World Series, also finished as the runner-up in the 93 MVP race to Barry Bonds, took the Phillies to the World Series that year, where they lost to the Blue Jays. But, like, okay, Lenny, all right. Sean and Kramer on the Sports Gambling Podcast paid him to do an ad read for them.
Mm-hmm.
And like, he's semi-literate at best and stumbles through the motherfucker. So
illiterate, really.
Please listen to recent episodes of the Sports Gambling Podcast. A lot of you listeners already listen to that show, but definitely check out like these recent episodes with this Lenny ad read, because it cracks me up on so many levels, because this is not the first time Sean's, like, they've had him on the show. And when they first had him on, Sean was like, "Holy shit, this guy's unhinged. Check out how he sent me like 19 emails in a row."
Uh-oh.
And I was like, dude.
What were they all saying?
Well, it's just all like, "Hey, so when does the payment go through? When does this happen?" And I mean, he's just like very erratic. And it's just
double, triple confirming.
Yeah, yeah. And like, I'm like, oh, I know all about, that's the thing is, this is not the first time in my life Lenny emails has come up with someone where I won't mention this by name, but I have a friend who's a lawyer who fucking Lenny was trying to get him to represent him on something. And he sent him a series of unhinged emails. So it's like, you'd be surprised how many friends of mine have like been like, man, I got all these emails from Lenny Dykstra. He would be so like, one's a lot. To be honest.
It's a lot.
But like,
it's multiple.
Yeah, but two, we're getting into. We're getting into some Price is Right territory. Like so if anybody out there listening has interactions with Lenny Dykstra and you'd like to share them with the show, please I'll have you on as a guest if you want to do this. Or if you want to remain kind of anonymous and just kind of send me the raw data, let me kind of, you know, go over.
Dude, stay anonymous. I just need confirmation that he in fact did.
I'll do this however you want. I'm willing to play ball. I confidentiality is very important to me. I'm Irish and Sicilian. This goes a long way for people from islands. But yeah, so I kind of thought of that like 5 minutes before. I was like, dude, there's been way too many Lenny Dykstra things pop. Like, I've had it pop up in my life too much now where it's now a thing. Like, I should probably just get, like, I think he charges like $150. I should just sack it up, pay it, get him on the show.
Sure. Why not?
But then I feel like a dick for not paying $150. You know, see, that's a precedent. It's a whole thing.
Yes. And he's got a lot better stories than I do.
Yeah, no, you got some pretty good ones, dude.
Yeah.
He was on the 86 Mets.
I didn't go to the World Series. Come on.
No, but, we'll get into this later, but you like to play cards, and a friend of ours sent me a cool thing that he's doing, so we'll talk about that. But you know, hey, so you were saying that you went on an audition before you came on the show today.
I had an audition. I had two self-tapes and one audition today. Yeah.
Are they? They're mostly self-tape now, right?
No. I really hate self-tapes. They're really terrible. They're
I've only had to do a couple of those before I stopped doing auditions, and man, yeah, those are brutal.
Yeah, I don't know. There's something about being in the room.
Yeah. Like I'm better in the room.
For sure. And also having immediate. That was great, but maybe a little bit more like this. You don't get that.
Even on something like this where we're doing a Zoom call, like it's cool. But like, man, if you were sitting in the room with me here, we're, you know, like
this way would more interactive.
It would be way better. And like,
we're doing what we can with what we have because we're in different states.
We live in different states, but like, man, you could be sitting next to my gun right now. You could be, or whatever you want from the bar. I have several options, you know.
I'll take a look.
You know what? If you were here right now, I have a cart with a bunch of the bottles. Mm-hmm. I would take a scale. I'd take the ice bucket and a few things, and I would bring a scaled down version of the bar cart, and it would just be parked in here with us, going Mad Men style on it. That's how we'd be rolling.
In the office.
Yep. And then I'd take you to the local dive casino around the block for, you know, some poutine or something.
Some after show, after drinks.
Yeah, you know, because I know how to do things.
You do.
Lock it up and I load it. All right. So I see you don't. I got a project for you that I'm working on now.
Okay.
And you don't even have to audition for it. I have a role. I'm going to write a role in this for you. And I already know exactly who you need to play. And it's perfect. And you're like the bad guy, but you're not. It's awesome. I think it's a great part for you.
Yeah. All right.
Before I get any further, I got to give a shout out to my friend Kevin Vidal, who I work with. We share an office together at work. And I kind of just said this offhand to him the other day as a joke. And then he like said something. He was like, and I'm like, okay, no, actually that makes it work. And then I started kind of thinking from here, but I have a movie idea here. Mm-hmm. And it's part of an existing franchise, but I don't want to give that away right away. I think part of the fun of that is the reveal, but I think it's going to be in the episode title. So who gives a shit? But still,
it's fire.
Yeah. Hey, guess what, everybody? it's Star Wars.
That's not oversaturated, is it?
No, there hasn't been enough of that. Okay, so I don't know how many people exactly, but we're going to follow a few. It's a Vegas base, you know, right. I live here, and you know, there's a lot of productions opening up out here. Mark Wahlberg lives out here now, but you know who else lives out here? Nick Cage, Kiefer Sutherland. We got some heavy hitters, and I can't, because I used to run into Kiefer Sutherland out drinking in L.A. at 4100, and he would just buy everybody in the bar around. Like, he would do that all the time. It's like, yeah, that's like three drinks around me or whatever. Fuck it. And then you wouldn't realize it until, like, because he didn't make, like, his presence known. And then he'd be like, oh, no, Kiefer's got it. And they'd point to him over in a dark corner somewhere, and he'd, like, give you a thumbs up. And it's like, fuck yes, dude.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, and that used to happen quite regularly. So I hope I run into Kiefer Sutherland out here, because he's got me drunk before and not even realized it. Yeah. And I heard he's off the wagon, too. So
just like, give him a genuine thank you.
Yeah, man, he's a good guy. And, man, my dream scenario at this point would be me, Nick Cage, and Kiefer all, you know, running into each other somewhere drinking, have going on one, and then running into Orenthal James. And then, like, Mark Wahlberg, and all make fun of him for saying he would stop 9/11.
Oh, yeah, right. OJ lives in Vegas?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He used to live really close to my old pad.
Really?
Like, I don't know, like a mile away or so, like, if that.
Orenthal James.
Yeah, dude. So, and also his son Justin is a real estate agent out here. They got recommended me on Twitter, and I'm so close to, like, I have a lease here for a few more months, but, like, man, I'm
does
so
he have a Simpson name?
Justin Simpson. It's his wife, is his kid with Nicole.
Oh, wow.
And I kind of want to get, like, an appointment with this real estate company, dude. Stay tuned for a potential episode of me and Justin Simpson talking local real estate, guys.
And this nothing is, else.
That's it. I don't want to ask him about, you know, his parents or anything.
Before we start, is it okay if we don't talk about your parents at all?
Yeah. I just...
Yeah, that'd be great.
Oh, man. Okay. I'd really like that.
I promise. Not a word.
All right. But anyway, so, okay. So this is going to be a film about gamblers.
Okay.
In the first act, we're going to have a collection of gamblers all playing different games, you know, and doing different things. Like that's one of my favorite things of when I have friends come visit for a weekend and I hang out with them is I like just kind of people watching when I go to these, because here's what happens when friends come in town. They leave me waiting for them in the lobbies and bars for hours while they dick around in their rooms and all kinds of stuff. And they treat my time like it's fucking garbage while they're on vacation here. I get shit all over. And then for certain people at this point, I go, you got to meet me at one of my local spots. If you're down to come here, sweet. If not, enjoy your trip. I'm not playing this fucking game anymore. You know,
right.
That's just how it is. You know, right. No hard feelings. It's just, I'm not on their vacation. And I got shit I got to do even on the weekends, you know? That's where I live, you know? And there's some weekends where I'm like, yeah, March Madness, dude. I got that weekend I take off. Or first week NFL. Or, no, I make a point because I know so many friends are coming in for that. Or, no, I'm here. I'm willing to do the stupid shit. But, like, outside of that, like, dude, I'm not doing that. Like, especially when people hit me up, like, for, like, a Tuesday or Wednesday. Like, hey, I'm in town, like, because it's cheaper this week. I'm like, yeah, I have a fucking full-time job, so.
Right.
And, like, I really don't want to go near the strip after work.
Right.
Hey, how about you just send me a rusty nail and I'll put it in my penis hole myself.
Cut out the middleman.
Exactly. But. So we're going to have this collection of gamblers rolling around the casino, right? Mm-hmm. And they're going to be, you know, doing their thing and playing their different games. I definitely want to get someone playing the digital Baccarat because I've shown that to some friends when Brian Cook and Andy Wood were here a few months back and, like, we went out drinking together. And I was like, they met me at a local spot because, like, they wanted the local experience.
Yeah.
So they met me at the place where OJ got arrested for stealing his merch. And then from there, we went to this awesome, like, punk rock tiki bar that's owned by Evel Knievel's son. See, I'll show you a good time. That's the thing on these local trips. Show you an amazing time. But, like,
what's
that?
What's Evel's son's name? Probably something really boring like Brian Knievel.
Beevil? I don't know.
Beevil Knievel. Oh.
Well, I know there's Robbie that's like the I forget. It's just, it's not Robbie, it's another one of his sons. Okay, yeah, they also own Evil Pie, which is a pizza spot downtown in Fremont. And I've taken people there. Like my sister and brother-in-law were in town and I took them there and they fucking loved it. Everybody who I've taken there has loved it because it's like an Evil Knievel museum slash like punk rock pizza spot.
Nice.
And so yeah.
Sounds awesome.
Oh, it's great. If you're ever, you know, we'll go grab a slice there. They got all kinds of good stuff. Okay, so we're going to have these gamblers and the digital background. I definitely got to include that. You know, got to have the sports book, obviously, you know, some poker, some craps, some blackjack, roulette, all the classics.
Uh-huh.
And all these people are losing. And they'll end up taking up markers. And this is the character you're going to play. You're going to be the guy when they take out the marker that gets them to sign the contract. And you're going to have this shit-eating grin on your face while you do it. Like, all right, just sign this. And we'll actually give... Normally, the casino, like, taking a loan out of the casino is, like, the worst interest ever.
Yeah.
But this is, like, going to be, like, ridiculously favorable insurance. Where it's like, how do you not do it?
Right.
And then they do it. And then they lose it, of course. Because that's... When you're losing, never take out a loan to gamble more.
Right. Just stop. Lose more.
Just stop. Take your whatever money you do have that you know, instead of, you know, go buy yourself a nice meal. Do that. That's 100% what you should do when you're fucking gambling. Like every time.
Every time.
And while you're there, play a couple keno slips. Maybe you'll fucking turn it around. Okay. It worked in Vegas Vacation for Clark Griswold. But it's not going to work for our characters in this film. No.
Okay.
Because what they signed up for is to be a part of the next human centipede.
Oh, God. They didn't read the fine print.
Exactly. Like I said, existing franchise. They didn't read the fine print.
I mean, not in my wildest dreams would I assume that's the franchise. You're talking about the existing franchise. How many did they have? Two?
Oh, there's like three at least that I can think of, and I'm pretty sure there's a fourth somewhere. There's the first one.
Then you told me there was exactly one, I would have been like, yeah, there's one. They definitely didn't make another one.
No, there's the first one, and then there's the second. I've only seen the first one. But then there's the second one, which I guess is about someone who is a fan of the first one, where it's like, so in the second one, the first one exists within the cinematic universe, if you want to get super meta on this.
Okay.
And then, so the guy's such a huge fan, he decides to do it.
Okay.
And then the third one's about a prison where the warden just goes crazy and is like, let's just make like a 300 man
centipede.
It's like I've seen shots from it where it's just like centipeded out dudes just like zigzagged across a prison yard, like like the gnarliest episode of Oz ever.
Oh god. It's awful.
But no, and like, here's the thing though. They all have a chance to get out of the centipede by continuing to play their game with the free hand.
Okay, and that's the caveat. If you're able to play and win, you get out of it.
Yeah.
What's the benefit of the person who.
By the way, how about a thank you for me thinking of a role for you that has nothing to do with like making a centipede, being in the centipede. You just get people to sign up for a centipede and you're out.
I'm the best role in this script. Yeah. No, my mouth is not touching a butthole.
No,
my
butthole is not touched. Yes.
I mean, even being the head of the human centipede, I feel like is really bad.
I think it's the worst. No, it's not the worst. I mean,
no, that's not the worst.
Being in the middle so much.
Yeah. Okay.
But the worst part about the head is like, they're going to not feed you well. Like, it's not like they're feeding you lobster to shit into the mouth. The people.
Even if they are, who cares? I don't care how good the food is.
It's a shitty based on how my job's been going lately, if someone's going to feed me steak and lobster as the head of a centipede all day, I'd consider it, okay?
you were really underselling how shitty your job's become if a human scenario.
It's starting to seem more appealing. Yeah.
Mm. Just to shake things up, or like anything's better than this.
Yeah, guys, man. Yeah, man, this is so bad. But we've all had a week like that at a job, so you know.
Absolutely,
it happens. Absolutely. It happens. But you know, okay. So, like one thing I think about is fun in this is you play into all the Vegas movie like motifs, or you know, all the tropes, all the. And then they don't see it, even though they know they're going to see a human centipede movie, they still don't see the centipede coming. I think that's the real art of it.
Okay.
Because, you know, you and I are both fans of cinema. You know, we both like.
Absolutely.
Like, out of my friends, you like have one of the more I value your opinion on movies more than a lot of people. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you. That's very nice of you.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's not bullshit. It's just like.
No, you know, I believe you're being genuine.
Yeah. Like, dude, like, if you tell me, like, hey, man, you're really going to like this, I believe I will. You know, I'll check it out. Like, and sure. I think maybe. I don't think you've ever steered me wrong. I mean, like, it's usually good stuff, you know? So. But. And, you know, Human Centipede 4. The Vegas, dude, I don't know what you call it, dude, like Vegas craps.
Of course you gotta have craps. Just Human Centipede 4 : craps.
Human Centipede 4 : out my ass.
That's not bad. I feel like you have to have craps in there.
Human Centipede 4. Okay, this one's bad. I'm sorry. I apologize before I say this to everyone. Hear it. Especially Josh, because he has to hear it live. Everyone listening, you can fast forward. Human Centipede 4. Poulette.
Coulette?
Poulette.
Oh, poulette.
like roulette, but poulette. Yeah, I know. That's pretty. I'm ashamed.
Coulette.
Like, you know what, dude? That just gets the wet fart. And the toilet flush. That's the trifecta. I've now set a triple Lindy standard on this show. If a joke's so awful and so horrible that I won't, but I'm looking at my gun right now and thinking, what should I do to myself because you made a joke that no, I don't. Don't call fucking watch list on me or whatever. All right, but if you do the Price is Right music to the wet fart to the toilet flush, that's the triple Lindy of it. We don't get much lower than this around here, which is a low part of the barrel.
Yeah. I haven't seen that movie in so long. Does he jump from a diving board up to a higher diving board?
No, he jumps from a flat, like the flat platform onto like two diving boards.
Okay.
Below him. But it starts on like that platform.
The very high.
Which platform. Those are fucking terrifying. Those are way up there.
They are, yeah. They had one.
I've gone up there on and jumped off it at the one in Long Beach at the Belmont Aquarium one, and that is, woo. You know, I'm a white knuckle thrill rider. You know what I'm saying? I like to load up that gun and fire it. I like to shuffle them poker chips. And you know,
you know all that.
Yeah, I like to make the. And I'm a man of cinema, and also, dude, can you imagine just me as the director getting to do director's commentary on why I chose each face for the centipede? Because you gotta, like, people, like, actors will go out for that, and this someone is, will. This is
the very definition of putting the horse before the cart. Like, you're already thinking about director's commentary.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Script written. You're already casting. You're already writing parts for people and coming up with, should it have the word craps? Craps or poulette?
Craps, poulette. I mean, I don't know what we could do with poker.
Yeah, chips, diddlers.
Poo-gow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, do like a pie-gow, but... Poo-gow. There's so many.
Baccarat just works on its own.
Yeah. Shatterack.
Horse shittery. I don't know. Horse shit racing.
We'll spitball these ideas.
I just workshop. Hey, I'm just the idea guy. Someone else is actually going to write it.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
So, yeah, you know, that's how we roll around here. In the Vegas Centipede. I think I'm going to call this episode Vegas Centipede. I think that's a...
Perfect.
You know, that's a good title for it.
Title of the movie, Vegas Centipede.
And it'd be funny if one of the people in the Vegas Centipede was one of those nuns on Fremont Street with their titties out. I don't know if you've ever been here and seen that.
I have not seen that.
But there's the naughty nuns, and it's women that wear, like, nun habits, and they have their fucking jugs out with, like, just electrical tape over the nips because, you know, to make it legal.
But all just you need
titties hanging out with nuns with titties hanging out. It's like, what if a nun with her titty, her big fucking hoots fucking dangling, was in the middle of a centipede?
A full habit?
Yeah, yeah. The full habit.
Wow. Excommunicated.
Personally, I want to start a charity, Nips for Nuns, where we allow the nuns on Fremont to show their nipples.
Come on. It's about time.
It's about time we had that. Hey, that wasn't on the list. That was just off the brain, everybody. Just coming. This stuff just comes sometimes. Well, you know, I don't know. I was going to get into, I have some, the conference championship games are this weekend. I do have some picks for that, but I'm not going to give picks for the game because, like, that's just boring, dude. Like, there's two games. You got Chiefs Ravens, you got the 49ers Lions. Mm-hmm. I'm really rooting for the Lions and Chiefs, to be honest with you.
I'm exactly the same way. Definitely.
Yeah. Because first off, the Lions, it's a fun story. It's cool that they're finally winning again. I mean, you're winning. Like, the second time they've made it this far since 1991, you know, and then, or since, it's just insane, you know. And our friend Mike Burns, big Lions fan.
Huge Lions fan, yeah.
Love it for him. So I'm pulling for that. But, like, I've been going down the deep dive of prop bets. A few guys I like this week in prop bets. So I'll give those out right now. Like for the 49ers, even though the Lions, I love them, they do play pretty aggressively on defense. And when you play aggressive on defense, you get big plays, but you also give up big plays. It's a risk reward.
Yep.
And the 49ers can capitalize on those kind of things. And I think Deebo Samuel is going to play this game. So he got hurt last game. He was out for most of it, but I think he's going to be playing. But I think they're going to use him as a decoy. So I think Brandon Ayuk, their more deep threat receiver, his yards over stuff. There's a lot of fun thing. Like, I wouldn't mind parlaying, like, for same game parlay stuff, like anytime Ayuk touchdown with him going over like 75 yards.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and you probably get at least like an 8-9 to 1 payout on that. If not like 16-17 to 1, like, well, I'm just making this shit up as I go along. I'm sorry, everybody. I should have done more homework on this segment, but I'm not
that far off.
Well, it's tricky because, like, I use like a few different books, and I know everybody else has different books and different lines. So it's like, see what you can get, like, shop around with this stuff, you know? I also like for the Ravens. See, I'm going to name guys on the teams I don't like who I think might do well for them because I think that's fun. I do think Lamar Jackson's going to run wild. He had over 100 rushing yards last game. I think that could happen again. So I don't, but his over-under for rushing yards is like 64.5.
I'm was going to say, you think he can. How likely is it, though?
Well, here's the thing is, it's playoff time. It's one of those things where chips are on the table. You got to do it. You got to do it if that's the best play for you to win. You know, during the regular season, you can, you know, oh, maybe, you know, throw it away, do this, do that. But so that being said, I don't mind doing what I call the ladder. Our friend CJ Sullivan, of course, is the ladder of fucking God, where you do let's say I did start with $20, right? And I do $20 on him over, like right now it's at 64.5. So I can juice it up to like 70 and start 20 there, and then 10 on 80, and then 5 on 90, and then like 250 on over 100, where the odds keep going up higher and higher and higher. My risk gets lower and lower and lower, but I'm making about the same amount of money on each bet, kind of thing, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. It does make sense, yeah.
And so I kind of like a Lamar route, but what I like more almost is the Odell Beckham stuff that's out there. Because he's so cheaply valued as an underutilized kind of part of that offense. So if you can get Odell Beckham, you know, and I'm going to pull out my phone, log into my account right now and try.
Oh, here we go.
And I'm just going to put this in. We're going to fucking put balls on the fucking table. Fucking balls. I'm going to put them on the fucking table. You know,
see, yeah, I know.
When you have a tough week, you know, we get to the point where
cunnilingus and psychiatry brought us to this.
Tony Soprano, everybody, you know,
Utah, give me two.
We got Gary Busey in the house.
Oh my gosh,
the whole cast of characters.
I used to say that quote constantly, Josh Wagner, Utah. Yeah. Give me two.
I mean, that's me and my brother at a certain point just started calling beers Utah.
Utahs.
Because we were just, hey, when it's like, hey, I'm going to go get a beer. Anybody want one? Utah. Give me two. And it just turns into, hey, give me a Utah, man. Like,
yeah, it just devolves into.
And that's how language works. You know, it's like the word fat.
Not touching that with a 10-foot
pole. Started off as a bundle of sticks.
Bundle of sticks. And then fast forward.
Now it's like, oh, yeah, don't say that. I mean, I should probably shouldn't have said that. I don't know. No. I don't think my audience cares, honestly. If you've been in this long, this is like episode 110 or so. You've been in this deep. You've heard me say some fucking weird shit. Like you're aware that I've been visited by Capitol Police over tweets I've made. So like, let's cut the bullshit, you know?
Yeah, I'm bored.
You know, like, hey, you're a trooper. You know what? Pat yourself on the back. That's good stuff. Okay.
Give yourself a little.
Yeah. You know. All right. So I'm looking at the Chiefs Ravens. All right. Bam. All right. I'm going to do this Odell Beckham shit. This is going to get wild, though, because I don't think he's going to be done. Ravens win on Lamar Jackson over 69.5 yards, plus 175. That's interesting, but I want to bet the Chiefs to win.
Mm-hmm.
Little trick. It's funny because same game parlays have been a big thing advertised on national gambling sites that you see in all the commercials for a while, but Vegas just barely got them a few months ago on the local books. Mm-hmm. So this is still kind of new territory for me. But one thing I've learned, and shout out to my buddy Matt Sullivan for teaching me this trick, but like you do all like, okay, you do all the Ravens to do well stuff.
Yeah.
And then Chiefs to win.
Mm-hmm.
And it creates like a multiplier within the multiplier, if that makes sense.
I thought you were going to say it's more of like a hedge. Like,
well, no, it's like a reverse correlation. No, because everything has to happen. So you're picking all these guys to go over yards and get touchdowns for the Baltimore side, but you're still saying they lose. Mm. How many times have these big games have we seen a shootout? Yeah, see it sometimes.
Right,
kind of the mentality there where you're like, I'm going to pick all these guys on the losing. I'm going to pick the big game guys from the losing team with the underdog to win or whatever, right. You know, and then sometimes you do that and it creates like the same game parlay stuff. There's already like multiplier effects to that, but that really like kind of, sometimes the algorithm won't even know what to do with that. And they'll be like, oh, we just won't offer you this. This is too weird.
Really?
Yeah.
That's happened.
You know, yeah. I've noticed on the William Hill account I use here, sometimes you got to like put it in right away when you get a number. Because if it thinks about it for a minute, like, wait, why don't we offer that? That's too weird. But that's what happens when you start giving people like me a chance to build your own shit.
Right. It was your fault for giving
that. Yeah, it's your fault, Dad, for leaving the porno around the house. Hey, Dad, you left all the cigarettes and porno around the house. I have a lifelong addiction now.
Thanks, Dad.
Okay, so I'm going to go player to score anytime touchdown, Odell Beckham. Let's just see what that number is at. Oh, he's plus 450 there.
So okay.
Put $10, you win 45. That's fun. Mm-hmm. But we're not stopping there with him.
No, you got to keep going.
No, we're building. This is going to be part of my ladder system. See, you do your ladders, right? As I explained earlier. Then you take the bottom rung of each of those ladders and you parlay those together in scaffolds.
Ah. You're building a foundation.
Yeah, and my new thing is figuring out a way to take a couple scaffolds and fucking put those together to make a bridge.
Ah.
But there's only so many games left. I'm figuring this out too late in the season. There's only two games left.
There's four games, like four games left.
There's three games left, yeah. Oh, on the on the Super Bowl, I'm going to get so buck wild on, like, because we're like, do the, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to parlay the coin toss. I'll try and do the Uncut Gems one where I do the coin toss to the this to that. Vegas doesn't offer a lot of the fun stuff because it's not legal here, but I have an offshore account for that kind of action, if you know what I mean. So.
I know what you mean. I get it.
I get my... Hey, if there's a bet I want to place, I do it. Okay.
Do it.
Okay, Beckham over... Oh, plus 370 for over 50 yards. So over 50 yards and a touchdown. So if he were to catch a 50-yard touchdown, this thing cashes right then and there. Plus 1,400. What did I say? It would be around that, ideally, that 1,600 or so range?
Yeah, that's what you said.
Not far off. So I'm going to fire on that right now.
Okay.
I'm going to say, everybody...
That's 50-yard touchdown?
Well, or just 50 yards total and a touchdown.
Gotcha.
So if he got it on six catches for 50 yards, whatever, you know.
Gotcha.
As long as he gets a touchdown... I'm putting $2 on this. It's $2 pays back 30. And I think that's fun, but I only have $10 in that account right now. So I'm going to spread some stuff around. I'm also going to deposit a little more because there's a lot of weird shit I'm going to get in on that one. Mm-hmm. I got plenty of money in my other accounts where I do my other action, but that's the one I specifically do the same game type stuff. Then I have another one that I do all the ladder and first touchdown stuff. And I hit a first touchdown last week, 16-1. That was fucking nice.
Nice.
And then, you know, it's a whole science to it all. I've learned to just, these accounts are good for these bets. These books offer these things better than these other ones. So play that. Uh-huh. I try and use the William Hill as much as possible, though, because they do give me cash rewards.
Uh-huh.
Or my other ones, more or less, like, I'll say, actually, my station one, that's the one I use for just my like regular straight up bets, you know? I do like that one a lot because it is like literally like I can walk to a station from my pad right now. You know, like it's like a 15-minute walk to the Wildfire Casino, which is owned by them. But what I really like about that is they send me like food credits. And like I really like the diner there. So they will just send me like a $10 dining credit. It's like, all right, I'll go to get chicken wings. Yeah. So that's pretty cool. I am a fan of that action. And I don't want that to be too boring for everybody. So I'm going to bring a little excitement here. You know what's the Sunday, I believe, is the Royal Rumble, dude. Wrestling.
WWE?
Yeah, dude. And I got to watch it, dude. I got a Peacock. I think it's free. You got Peacock. Okay, Vince McMahon is just in trouble for this huge sexual fucking thing going down, like, I don't know if you follow this story, but like, oh, it's big. Like he was involved. He's basically in a sex trafficking ring. and it's going down. The shit's hit the fan. All kinds of texts are being leaked. I'm not going to get too into that because, like, frankly, I don't want to have to tag this with a trigger warning. But I will say that makes the Royal Rumble this weekend must-watch TV.
It's must-watch.
And I've been watching a lot of old-school wrestling lately on the Peacock app, which is insane amount of fun. Because there was a lot of those old pay-per-views when I was a little kid that I really wanted to see. And my parents were like, oh, fuck off.
Yeah, no way.
You know, and now I'm like, oh, I pay for this app. I can fucking watch this. I'm an adult. I can watch this in my living room or my office or my bedroom because I'm a fucking grown-up.
Right.
So, bam. That's Royal Rumble talk. We got that out of the way.
Check that off.
Just wanted to be able to, use that as a tag for people this weekend. Looking for people talking about the Royal Rumble. My favorite Royal Rumble, the one where Ric Flair won the vacated championship. That was great. Because he had barely been in, he had gone left WCW for WWF. It was a whole thing. That was sweet. That was when I was really into wrestling too. So that also, you know.
I went to a WrestleMania, I want to say in 86 or 87.
Ooh. The one at Detroit?
No, it was in Chicago.
That was 86. Yeah.
The Rosemont Horizon.
Yep.
And up until that point in my life, it was the latest I ever stayed up. I was up until like 4 a.m. My dad took me and my brother and a couple other people, and it was... Yeah, all the big players were there. It was amazing. Huge arena.
Live wrestling's one of the coolest things you can go to.
It was bedlam. People were just like screaming.
If you are not a wrestling fan, you hate it, you don't think it's cool, I recommend like finding just like, don't go to pay big money for WWE. Find like some local level. Like, dude, you'll have the time of your life with this shit. It is amazing. I remember my 13th birthday, my mom took me and my friend, Ryan Knowles, he's like a Broadway actor now, which is kind of crazy. And then my brother, and took us to go to Anaheim Convention Center.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Bret the Hitman Hart versus the Mountie.
Oh, yeah.
The Intercontinental Championship. That was like, but the real highlight of the night was like a 20-man battle royal they were doing.
Oh.
So there was like a few early matches. But then, like, basically everybody came out for this battle royal, and Macho Man won the battle royal.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and that was fucking awesome.
Oh, and it was.
And then a few years later, Monday Night, this was, like, in the peak of the Monday Night Wars, like, in the late 90s, like, 98 or whatever. Uh-huh. And my buddies at work were huge wrestling guys at this pizza place I worked, Pizza Mania in Whittier. Uh-huh. And they were like, hey, man, you don't, and they were all over 21, and I wasn't yet.
Right.
And so I was like, hey, man, are you down to, you know, go to WrestleMania? You go to Monday Night Raw? Like, dude, it's at the pond. We can get tickets for like $20 or whatever. I'm like, yeah, man. And so, yeah, it cost me like $20 for a ticket. We sat in the upper deck, whatever. But like, what was cool about that was the only TV taping I've been to. So it was Monday Night Raw, which is live. And yeah. I do that shit live. And I saw The Rock versus Stone Cold for the belt.
Oh, wow.
Like during the peak of that shit. So that was like epic. But then they also do like the Tuesday night show, the Thursday night show, and like the Sunday night show.
Oh, they record them all the same night.
They do all, yeah, because that's when they have the cameras there. So you sit there, and as a fan, like it totally breaks kayfabe right there because it's just like, last week on Raw, you said this to me. It's like, dude, I saw that fucking an hour and a half ago, dude. What are you talking about? But it's like, you're right. Like, it's one of the, like when they tape, it's crazy long. It's a TV taping, which is long. You know, tedious television hours. Like,
yeah.
But yeah, man, dude, I love it. And like watching these old ones, it's so funny because I'm like, I'm just kind of watching. I decided on there, like they have all everything basically on the Peacock. So I started watching when Hulk Hogan joined WCW.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm watching from like the second he joined.
When he joins, does he immediately become Hollywood Hogan?
No, it's like I he's still Hulk Hogan now, and I'm like a year into his stuff. Oh, it's like 2 years in that he does Hollywood.
Okay.
And so, yeah, it's like I'm looking for it because I was looking that up last night. I'm like, when does he go to Hollywood?
Right. That's what I was thinking.
But like, yeah, it's a – but no, so I'm – Monday Night Nitro hasn't even started yet. So I'm starting with all the Clash of Champions and the pay-per-views. But then once Monday Night Nitro starts, I'll watch those in between all the pay-per-views. And like, so I'm looking forward to the Hollywood Hogan storylines. But honestly, when I'm working here in the office, it's so good to have on the background. Because it's like, I don't really give a shit. It's a 30-year-old fucking wrestling show. Right. But it keeps me occupied. Like, occasionally I'll look, all right. Bobby the Brain Heenan is on commentary on these, and he kills me. I always said he's like one of my biggest comedic influences.
Bobby the Brain?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Because like, he was so fun. Like, dude, I was watching one of these where he did such a great, like, comedic, just set it up early in the match and then call it back later for the payoff, right as they're about to pin him. And it was, like, so good. But he was basically, like, saying how, like, Hacksaw Jim Duggan's illiterate. And then, like, it goes, like, way late in the match, and he's, like, and then the guy, like, the other announcer was like, oh, he's a meat and potatoes guy. He's like, no, he's not. He orders, like, a Happy Meal or whatever. He's like, he only goes to restaurants where you can look at a menu and point an order because he's illiterate. And then, like, right then, he got pinned. And, like, the shit broke out. He got pinned. It was match over. But he knew exactly when to bring back the illiteracy joke with this. And it was amazing. It's just, like, it's, like, perfect comedic timing. Like,
that's awesome.
And, like, why, dude, he's so funny. I'm like, dude, like, there's another one where he's just like, oh, yeah, you know, he said something about, oh, yeah, that woman's a millionaire. You know, I know that. She's divorced.
You know how I know? Oh, that's great.
Yeah, he's so funny. But, you know, lately, I've had a lot of fun announcements here on the show as we're about to wrap things up here. And I got another one. I have a new mini series coming out for the Sports Gambling Podcast Network.
Ooh.
And it's going to be, if you listen to the Zed Run Gambling Podcast, it's going to be on that feed. So you don't even need to subscribe to something new. But if not, if you haven't subscribed to that yet, before we switch it, we're going to change the name of everything for the new show. But, like, yeah, subscribe to that. And it's dare I say, I'm going to say it. The superior digital horse racing game is Photo Finish Live. I got a stable. My horse is eligible to run for the first time day after Super Bowl. And this is like one cool thing about Photo Finish Live is like, it's the guys that did Madden are basically making a, like, so it's like very real. Like, Zed Run was like an arcade game kind of. This is like very realistic with like dirt tracks, turf tracks, mud, you know, different rain levels, you know, all that to create this, like, but yeah, you can, and anybody can set up an account and bet on races on there and stuff. Like, it's quite fun. I have done some betting on the races and I have not lost a bet yet on there. And I've only done like three. And after the second one where I cashed pretty good, I was like, fuck, dude, like, you're undefeated now. I'm picking these things. Like, you can't. Like, when you do your next, you just got to wait until your horse runs, because if you don't want to ruin this mojo I've built up.
Right.
So yeah, in a couple of weeks, I'm going to have a horse with a maiden. His name's Mr. Lee. I named him after my dead cat. That was a funny, because he's going to do more with that name than that dead cat ever did. I'll tell you that. I'm going to talk to Lizzie Cooperman, you know, friend of the show and our mutual friend. She does tarot readings. She's going to come on and do a tarot reading for my horse.
She does great readings.
Yeah. So I'm going to, she's down to do a tarot reading for my fake horse. And so that's going to be a fun episode coming up, and really pumped for that. But yeah, I'm going to be kind of sharing the journey of that through like a 10-part mini series. It's going to be like how to set it all up, how to do it all, how to do this. But like, as I do it, like, I'm going to be running the trials and tribulations of this horse, Mr. Lee. So we'll, like, that'll be documented throughout the process as well. It's going to be fun. I hope you guys check that out. It'll be on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. We're, like I said, the Zed Run Gambling Podcast feed that already exists. Please check that out. I hope you enjoy that. They do a thing like D-Gens After Dark on the weekends. I will be doing that, like, I usually record these Friday evening, like we're recording right around now. Like, I'll basically log off from here and go to a live stream. And this show is going to be live stream video soon. It's not right now, but that's going to be part of like the Bowser block on Fridays where I do that. And then I do D-Gens After Dark live, like, racing stream. And so yeah, yeah, this is going to be a lot of fun, and I hope you guys all check it out. And like, if you want to set up a photo, go to Photo Finish Live. I can't even think of the URL right now. Hold on. I got this.
All right, you got it. You want to make sure they got the right URL.
No, here it is. Go to photofinish.live and set up your own free account, and you can get a free training horse and learn how to, like, and if you race it and it wins each season, which is like every 4 weeks, and you're the best one in the season, they'll give you a free horse. And some of these are worth, like, dude, some of them sold for like $35,000. I think the biggest sale was like $120,000 for like one of the elite ones.
Oh my God.
But like, yeah, these things sell for a crazy amount. Like, they're so, if you, like, yeah. And you can get a free one that doesn't count for the real stuff, but you can play around to win one on their thing. It's a fun game. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm going to be doing a show for it. That's how much I like it. So,
yeah, I like the company so much. I started playing it.
Yeah. You know, I'm not only a client, I'm also a client.
I remember, I'm also a client.
Yeah. So, thank please
you so much. I bought it.
Check that out. Josh, do you have anything you got to plug you want to get in on?
I just shot a Jimmy John's commercial. Go out and eat some Jimmy John's. It'll definitely help me out. Other than that.
No, actually, dude, hold on.
I love Jimmy John's.
You know, I've never eaten Jimmy John's.
Oh my God. Their bread is like, it's so much. That.
You know what? You know, like the Philly style Amarosa rolls, like the authentic ones.
Mm-hmm.
They sell those at the market right by my pad. And I've just been making homemade, like, when I get sandwich, I just make homemade, like, bomb-ass sandwiches on those that I get, like, deli meat. Sure.
Are you still making jardinera?
I haven't made it in a while. Dude, you know what, man? Not gonna lie, bro. Harder to get good produce here for that.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
You know, it's
got insane produce.
Sometimes there's been a couple times, I've made a couple batches, but, like, I remember the last time I was going to, I went and I was like, oh, dude, these, like, peppers look, I'm not gonna, you know, like,
bad ingredients, bad jardinera.
So if you grow serrano peppers or like Anaheim peppers, hit your boy up, man. Free, you know what, dude? But you know what, bro? Jen just got me a vacuum sealer for Christmas,
like a seal a meal.
Yeah, I need it. What I need to do is go to California,
stock up
on peppers, and I'll seal them and freeze them and.
You go.
There's always a solution.
There's always a solution. We're just one state away.
You are. You're only like four or five hours from me. It's not far.
It's not even an inconvenience.
You know, you're only like a 45-minute flight. That's...
Yeah.
Actually, last time I went to California, I went to San Diego. And I drove on that one. Mm. And that took me like 5.5-6 hours. So I don't know. It wasn't that bad. But I went for Decker's wedding. That was great.
Over
a year. But I realized I need to start doing the Vegas to San Diego flight more often because it's quick. But I need to start hitting Del Mar racetrack more often. And that, you know, I don't know. Like, oh, yeah, I can't gamble in Las Vegas. I have to go to San Diego. No, but I enjoy Del Mar. It's racetrack on the beach is always cool. Josh, where can people follow you on social media?
On Instagram, I'm at Josh Cheney. Okay. That's spelled like the former vice president, Josh Cheney. Okay. And,
or you can say his daughter, the rabble rouser and the whatever she does.
Yeah. Whatever she does. About it. I'm like really not on Twitter at all anymore, and don't go to my Facebook. Just go to my Instagram.
Sweet.
That'll tell you whatever current things I got going.
Oh yeah.
On.
Well, the show's on Twitter and Instagram. Lux Stops Here Podcast and at Lux Stops Pod on Twitter. I think it's at Lux Stops Here Podcast on Instagram. Yeah, and then follow the Zed. I have the at Zed Podcast. Like all those feeds. Check that stuff out. I'm going to be converting it over to photo finish. And here's the thing is I will be like here. I can say photo finish Zed. I'll go back and forth, whatever. But on the official photo finish show, I will be referring to it as the other game because I don't want to piss off my new overlords. The developers at Photo Finish have been really cool to me. I've been in talking with them for months now. They all follow me on Twitter like immediately. Like they understand I'm a content creator to be valued, unlike those cocksuckers over at Zed. So,
much unlike.
I take that back because I don't want to be one of those guys that trashes the X on the way to the new one. You know,
yeah,
it's a bad look. And so that's why I'm trying to be. And I still play Zed. I do. I haven't lately, but like I do a little. So, you know, but thank you so much, everybody, for listening. We know you have a lot of choices to listen to in podcasts every week. And we are so glad that you chose the Luck Stops Here podcast with Scott Bowser. If you could just please give us a 5-star review and leave a little nice comment on Apple or Spotify or whatever. I don't really know how a lot of this stuff works. But
it helps a ton.
It helps a ton. And if you got a friend that you think might enjoy this weird stuff, let them know. If you got a friend that you're like, hey, this guy'd be a good for a centipede, tell him about it. And we would really appreciate that. And thank you so much. I got a lot of fun stuff coming up. And I also my digital soccer team, I'm supposed to be on another play test on that. So that's going to be fun. Do not tune out. Tune in, tune on. I don't know. I love you guys. God bless you and keep gambling.